A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Hwan. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
I don't know about you, Stanley, but you spent a number of years in San Francisco. And I think during that time, our entertainment industry in Singapore really, really grew. We get so many different acts here, just like that, you know. TEG, Asia Pacific's leading ticketing, live entertainment and data analytics business. They process about 28 million tickets each year on over 20,000 events. Amazing numbers.
But where are the gaps that need to be filled in the entertainment industry? How does a ticketing company make their money? And what data is being collected? How are they protecting it? I think that's also a buzz phrase that all of us are concerned about these days, protection of data. Yeah. We're joined by Brendan Bainbridge today. He is Managing Director of TEG Asia, and he's in the studio to tell us more. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, guys.
So it's quite interesting. So you lead all TEG's ticketing and live entertainment activities in the region, management oversight of the TEG wholly owned company's ticket charge in Malaysia, Ticket World in the Philippines, the newly launched Ticketek Singapore. I suppose I got to start by asking, say, in the past 5 years, has the live entertainment sort of data analytics business related to live entertainment, has it changed a lot?
Oh, absolutely. It changes continuously, and I've been in this business for about 13 years, and 1 year is very different from the preceding. I think the biggest change is around the use of data to help with live entertainment is understanding audiences, talking to the right people about the right acts. You know, you may be a ballet fan, someone else may be a rock fan, and you wouldn't, you know, be talking to them the same way. So using data in a smart way to try and cut through customers who've got a very busy inbox and social media feed to be really, you know, talking to them specifically and something that will resonate with them.
Okay. If you don't mind me asking, how long have you been in the entertainment industry?
Well, I've been with TEG for 13 years.
Yeah. Okay. So that's as long. Do you notice trends? Is there a current trend now when it comes to live acts?
Well, the thing I really love about the industry is it's continually evolving and moving. So, you know, there are some acts and there's some genres which stand the test of time and others that kind of become more fashionable than others. I was lucky enough to go to BTS on Saturday night and I was one of the few dads that were there amongst sort of almost 50,000 girls, and that's a very different phenomena, maybe harking back to the Beatles type days maybe, and that kind of group of people. But there's not so many fashionable type genres. It's just who's in those genres that seems to change obviously a little bit.
If you could point out a genre that's stood the test of time, what would stand out for you?
I mean, music, I mean, obviously has been forever. Theatre, I think. You know, you look at musical theatre in Singapore, you know, Phantom of the Opera is going to be here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a new show, but it's still very, very popular and does really, really well. So I think, you know, music and theatre are always going to be strong no matter where you are in the world.
We also like you to take us through the steps that it'll take to organize, you know, put entertainment acts together here in Singapore, right down from, you know, courting prospective clients to running the show to doing the ticketing and all.
Yeah, look, it's complex and we don't have all the time to get the details, but it varies on what kind of act you're doing. And the difference with TEG to some other people who work in entertainment is we work across multiple genres. So we do global exhibitions, we do theatre, we do concerts, we do sport. But using a concert act, say, for an example, it's very highly competitive. So companies like TEG will approach the agent of a particular act and try and see if they'd be interested in touring and what that window is and then how many shows they want to do, you know, how frequently they want to do shows and what parts of the world they want to be in. Then once you've kind of got that sorted, then you've got to start talking about money and then you might come up with a deal. And then that might seem like the hard part, but it gets harder. Then you've got to try and put together a tour. Working on availability of venues around the region, for example, could be very hard. You know, venues are busy in Singapore, Indoor Stadium.
So venue scouting would be your responsibility as well?
Our company, we'd have to do that on behalf of the agency. So we would guarantee a certain number of shows, and we've got to then find the venues around the region to put them in.
Brendan Bainbridge, Managing Director of TEG Asia, in the studio with us. We tend to take this for granted. You know, we just want more acts, more live acts for us to watch. But the process behind putting it together. Brendan, say you have plans to bring in a huge act into Singapore, okay? Say as part of a festival maybe. How long ahead of time should you start planning for this?
Well, it depends who you speak to. I've done some acts that was almost a year in advance. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember when One Direction became a big deal. We'd done a promo tour for them and then an arena tour. Then we did a stadium tour, and those tickets went on sale 13 months prior to them actually coming. Mm. Then I remember one year the Rolling Stones came, and we put them on sale 6 weeks before. So it really depends on the act and what sort of time window we've got available.
Okay. In your opinion, the toughest part about putting things together over this period of between a year and 6 weeks?
Yeah. Look, it's harder and harder because people have got the same disposable income, and it's now spread across many things, you know, dining out, movies, entertainment, etc. So really fighting for that share of their dollar to go to a show is definitely gets harder and harder.
Yeah, I thought you would have said something like logistics, but I like that point of view. That's very interesting.
Yeah, Brendan, take us backstage now to finding out more about, you know, the primary source of revenue for an organization like TEG. Where would it primarily come from?
Well, we're an integrated live entertainment company, so we're not relying upon one particular source of revenue. So, and that's good because it helps us, you know, it's quite a cyclical business. And so sometimes there might be one part of the business which is a little quieter than others. So obviously we get our revenue through our ticketing businesses, through our touring businesses of live entertainment, and our data and digital. So they all sort of spread out, and some periods, you know, one might be bigger than the other, and then the next, you know, quarter it might flip around a bit, just depends what's going on at that particular time.
Try and look at your profit margin wise. Any chance you could share percentage maybe?
Yeah, look, it varies. Each act is different based upon the deals. And so for touring, it's all over the place. On ticketing, it's a very lean margin. It's not big there. And data and digital, it varies again by the project and the contract. So I wish I could tell you there was a specific margin, but it's not. And that's the challenge that I've got running this business here, is trying to balance that into making sure that it's sustainable and we're doing a good job.
Accounting's in entertainment industry, never straightforward at all.
No, definitely not.
Well, you've recently also launched a new ticketing portal for Southeast Asia called Ticketek. What was it like before Ticketek? I mean, what was missing from existing ticketing portals that Ticketek can offer?
Well, Ticketek's a brand that we've had for almost 40 years in Australia and New Zealand. And we spent a couple of years looking at Singapore and Southeast Asia. And we definitely saw a gap in the market. There is no ticketing organization that covers the region. And so there are some very good ticketing companies in Singapore and in the region. But we wanted to present something that people could buy tickets to shows across the region, not just country by country. Mm-hmm. And so Ticketek Singapore will form part of our Southeast Asian ticketing network, so that one portal you can buy tickets to shows and events all around the region. And I think that's great for people who constantly travel to go to shows, et cetera.
Actually, with regard to portals to buy shows, how do you plan to compete against other portals that already exist?
Exactly. So that's you've got to really offer something a little different to the organizer of the show and also to the customers who are buying tickets. We've obviously been in this business a very long time, new to Singapore, but in the industry a very long time. So we've got some really, I think, cutting edge, data-driven sort of tools to be, you know, much more relevant to people, making sure that that user interface for online sales is really good. Yeah. You know, the mobile element, we were very innovative on mobile ticketing, you know, having your tickets, you know, sent to your phone and stored in your digital wallet, whatever it may be. So I think we've got probably some more sophisticated digital offerings that some of the others in the market don't have.
Tell you what, if it doesn't hang during a big launch, you're like number one already. You know the stories.
Yeah, yeah.
What scares me with the entertainment industry is the amount of influx of technology that's being put into the ticketing process. Does this scare you, Brendan?
No, it doesn't scare me. It's. I think it's good for everyone involved. You know, you mentioned before about, you know, as long as you're not hanging, etc. You've got to have really smart technology. Yeah. I think the consumers' expectation on interacting with technology now is so much different to what it was even just a few years ago. Our tolerance for inefficient technology. So, you know, we've got to continually invest in that, and we've got to keep evolving because it doesn't stand still.
Any thoughts on the future of, you know, ticketing? I hear they're exploring things like facial recognition. Mm-hmm. What do you think of?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a lot of positives to that. You think about when you go to a show and you go to a person who's going to scan your ticket, they're grappling with a scanning machine and you're trying to pull your ticket out of your wallet or your purse or whatever, and to be able to just walk through and have your face recognized to get in. It's already in existence in some places, not necessarily for getting into venues, but for security. But obviously there's some people in some countries who've got an issue around privacy and what their face is being used for.
My favorite is, wait, I can't load it on my phone.
I mean, we've already moved away from, you know, paper tickets. Oh, I forgot to print it out. I forgot to bring the physical copy. And then now we're complaining about the scanner not being able to detect our barcode on the phone. Now it's talking about feature. Yeah, that's how fast technology
is
moving.
It is amazing.
You know, by coming back to Ticketek, being the ticketing partner for the current Australian Open, or the Australian Open, what have sales been like so far? And where did most of the sales come from, I wonder?
Look, I think, I mean, the tournament's not over yet. It's got the rest of the weekend, but I think sales are ahead of last year, and they've had a really successful 2 weeks. The great thing about the Australian Open, and Ticketek in Australia has been a partner with that event for many, many years, is it's really become an Asia-Pacific event and not just Australian. If you've just been watching it on TV, you look in the crowd and the people waving their flags and what players they're cheering for, they travel from all over. But I think it's very fair to say that there is a very big contingent from within Asia who go down to Melbourne for part of that tournament, because it is their tournament just as much as it is Australian. So it's done really well. It's a fantastic event.
Our colleague Yasmin Yonkers is actually there right now. That's why she's on leave. You bring up a very good point, Brendan. Take, for example, a concert. If you can't get tickets in Singapore, a lot of people go, oh, all right, he's playing or she's playing in Bangkok as well. Yeah. I'll just go there.
Absolutely. I think that was one of the big reasons that TEG decided to start with Ticketek in Singapore and ticketing businesses in the region, is that with the advent of low-cost flying, whether it be Air Asia or whoever it may be, it's very easy for people to get on a plane just for the weekend to go to a show. I mean, we all know lots of people who do that kind of thing. Maybe they missed the show that was in Singapore, or maybe it's not coming here, or whatever it may be, or combining, you know, a show with a weekend away. So it's, we've all become very much mobile, and you look at some big events in Singapore, the F1, Ultra, Zoukout, the proportion of people from countries like Australia has really increased a lot. And places like STB, of course, are very keen on getting people like that into Singapore to go to events and spend money up here. So it's I think we've all become much more mobile in what we do.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to find out also, I mean, it's known as Ticketek here, but it's Ticket Charge in Malaysia, Ticket World in the Philippines. Yeah. So why not just call it the same name?
Yeah, look, good question, and something that we discuss often. So we acquired the Ticket Charge business in Malaysia, and just recently the Ticket World business in the Philippines. And look, they've got some real brand equity in their markets, and we weren't really keen to go in and change that right away. But over time, we'll reevaluate that. All the businesses will be linked together digitally, so it'll seem seamless for customers. But I think we're sort of paying some respect to those brands and those markets and not coming in and changing the world right away.
Brendan Bainbridge, Managing Director of TEG Asia, in the studio chatting with us about the entertainment industry. We've talked a lot about digitalization and all that. I guess it's time to get into a serious conversation about collecting data. We've had companies like Facebook get in trouble for that. You guys definitely collect a lot of it. What do you do with this data? How do you protect it?
Yeah, look, it's a good question, and one that's very, very topical right now. So I think as an e-commerce platform, you require a lot of data to finish a transaction.
Sure.
And then you also have people who share certain data points with you so they can be informed about events or whatever it may be. So managing that is very, very important. So we don't really store any of that in our ticketing platform. So that is sort of sent off to third parties to sort of store and manage in a sort of separate environment. But we collect a lot of data. Customers have the choice of what they would like to have shared with, you know, to hear about future events or whatever it may be. And we obviously really respect that, because the minute you start abusing that is when, you know, you start to really lose a lot of relevance in the industry and with consumers. So data protection is big, and we invest a lot of money and time and effort to make sure that that is, you know, sort of best practice.
Okay.
You mentioned third-party vendors of sorts. How are you able then to, you know, ensure that they are the ones who will actually be taking a lot of responsibility there with data privacy and what they do with it?
Yeah, yeah. So we obviously, the interface between the show or the event and the customer. And so we're quite often collecting data that the owner of the show, let's just say you went to a theatre show, that owner of that show, it's their customers who are buying tickets. So they may or may not necessarily want to have access to some of that data there for various reasons. So we definitely insist that if we have to pass anything on to them, they adhere to certain privacy standards and security standards. Mm. But it's a big deal. And all players in the industry, whether it be the owner of the show or whatever, are very conscious of that and respectful of it.
Right. I think I've just got one final question. You know, with regard to how the economy is looking, not the most rosy at the moment. So looking at the near-term future of the entertainment industry, how do you think it'll be faring? Because, you know, entertainment, oftentimes it's like only if we have the additional purchasing power kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I was obviously in the industry during the GFC and, you know, we were quite worried about it. But those were actually some of the best years for live entertainment in recent history. So, you know, you may be thinking of going to Hawaii this year for a holiday. Times get a little tough, you maybe scale back and maybe you'll, instead of spending all that money, you'll spend a fraction of it and do some smaller things locally or regionally. And so we found that entertainment, that was sort of the one thing that people sort of still held on to, maybe instead of more expensive activities. You know, it's the same wallet that's coming out of that discretionary entertainment, travel, recreation, whatever you want to call it. And we got a bigger share of that during tough times. So I'm hoping that will continue if we go through those times again.
That's right. Don't be stressed. Go enjoy yourself.
You need to de-stress.
Yeah. Brandon Bainbridge, Managing Director of TEG Asia, in the studio with us this morning. Brandon, thanks so much for your time this morning. It's been great chatting with you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.